I'd like to bring in a long-time friend of the American Freedom Alliance and a recognized world authority on the Middle East, Dr. Daniel Pipes. Dr. Pipes is an academic and journalist and director of the Middle East Forum based in Philadelphia, whose writings on Islam, Europe, and the threat to the West have appeared in newspapers and magazines around the world. His website, www.danielpipes.org, is the world's single most accessed internet source of specialized information on the Middle East and Islam. Welcome, Dr. Pipes.
Thank you, Avi. Shall I start?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you. Good morning or afternoon, in my case, to those who are listening. Our brief is to talk about background, and so I'll try and do that and not bleed into current or future circumstances, but that is naturally what I do. To begin with, the Middle East has been stuck. It's been in a state of semi-paralysis or stasis for something like 40 years. 1970 marks, roughly 1970, marks when Hafez al-Assad, the father of Bashar al-Assad, the current ruler of Syria, came to power. 1969 marks when Muammar Gaddafi came to power. 1978 was the ruler of Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh. 1981, the ruler of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak. 1988, the ruler of Tunisia, Ben Ali, Kennedy and Ben Ali, and so forth. These long-time rulers were, to the last one, autocrats, tyrants, and they ran police states. It's important to note that although many of these states that I just mentioned, with the exception of Syria, worked with the U.S. and other Western governments, it didn't make them any less of a police state. We know that the Syrian government is a police state, but so was the Egyptian one. Indeed, in order to understand the nature of these governments, it's probably best to go back two or three decades and recall the Soviet Union, the late Soviet Union, the latter years of Russia, not Stalin and Soviet Union. That would be more like Saddam Hussein, but Brezhnev and Gorbachev, Soviet Union. These were police states, and they controlled information, they controlled activities, they controlled the economy, you name it, they controlled everything. Likewise, in the states I just mentioned, the secular response in Tahrir Square, which I maintain is still important, that although these people who did not achieve power and nowhere close to it, what we saw a year ago in January was that there is a sizable group of people who have concerns and ambitions, dreams comparable to ours, and they're not Islamists. Now, they've been shoved aside, and they're weak at the moment, but they are there, and that is the good news. A year ago, Yemen is particularly difficult. I won't go through the listing of all the factions, but there's something like eight of them. The forces of the ruler, the Houthi rebels in the north, the secessionists in the south, the Al-Qaeda-style forces, the youth movement, the military, the leading tribes, and the Ahmar family. Incredibly complicated, incredibly delicate situation, ecological disaster looming. I think Yemen could be the most catastrophic of all these developments. In Syria, one had the most repressive of all the police states. And here, what we're seeing is evolving out of the confrontation is a Sunni Muslim versus Alawi confrontation. The Assad family and its clique are Alawis. Alawis are a small religion found almost only in Syria, about 12% of the Syrian population, a mystery religion like the Druze religion. Historically despised, historically powerless, but as a result of various factors in the 1960s, rose to power and has been in power now for over 40 years. And this is the cutting edge issue in Syria. Is there going to be a civil war between the Alawis who have the guns and the Alawis who are far more numerous? In Bahrain, a similar sort of development between the Shiites and the Sunnis. Again, Shiites more numerous, Sunnis are ruling. Opposite, actually. Saudi Arabia is a family that's been dominating Saudi Arabia more or less for 2.5 centuries with a very distinct and extreme ideology, the Wahhabi one, with lots of money. So far, it has done quite well, but we can't assume that it will survive this unscathed. And finally, Iran, the single most important country in the Middle East, a country which is paradoxically the most dangerous in that it has nuclear weapons, the terrorism, the extremist ideology, and on the other hand, the most hopeful one, because alone in the Middle East, or indeed the entire Muslim world, the Iranians are sick of radical Islam, are sick of their government, the Khomeini style government, and want out. And so I think the opposition movement that got really going in 2009 was suppressed but not snuffed out. The antipathy towards the regime remains. There is still great potential for unrest in Iran. I think that's my 10 minutes, so I'll stop there.